day. So too I will beat upon my heart with gratitude as I consider all who greeted yesterday's sunrise, who are no longer with the living today. I am indeed a fortunate man, and today's hours are but a bonus, undeserved. Why have I been allowed to live this extra day when others, far better than I, have departed? Is it that they have accomplished their purpose while mine is yet to be achieved? Is this another opportunity for me to become the man I know I can be? Is there a purpose in nature? Is this my day to excel? I will live this day as if it is my last. I have but one life, and life is naught but a measurement of time. When I waste one, I destroy the other. If I waste today, I destroy the last page of my life. Therefore, each hour of this day will I cherish, for it can never return. It cannot be banked today to be withdrawn on the morrow, for who can trap the wind? Each minute of this day will I grasp with both hands and fondle with love, for its value is beyond price. What dying man can purchase another breath, though he willingly give all his gold? What price dare I place on the hours ahead? I will make them priceless. I will live this day as if it is my last. I will avoid with fury the killers of time. Procrastination I will destroy with action. Doubt I will bury under faith. Fear I will dismember with confidence. Where there are idle mouths, I will listen not. Where there are idle hands, I will linger not. Where there are idle bodies, I will visit not. Henceforth I know that to court idleness is to steal food, clothing, and warmth from those I love. I am not a thief. I am a man of love, and today is my last chance to prove my love and my greatness. I will live this day as if it is my last. The duties of today I shall fulfill today. Today I shall fondle my children while they are young. Tomorrow they will be gone, and so will I. Today I shall embrace my woman with sweet kisses. Tomorrow she will be gone, and so will I. Today I shall lift up a friend in need. Tomorrow he will no longer cry for help, nor will I hear his cries. Today I shall give myself in sacrifice and work. Tomorrow I will have nothing to give, and there will be none to receive. I will live this day as if it is my last. And if it is my last, it will be my greatest monument. This day I will make the best day of my life. This day I will drink every minute to its full. I will savor its taste and give thanks. I will maketh every hour count, and each minute I will trade only for something of value. I will labor harder than ever before and push my muscles until they cry for relief, and then I will continue. I will make more calls than ever before. I will sell more goods than ever before. I will earn more gold than ever before. Each minute of today will be more fruitful than hours of yesterday. My last must be my best. I will live this day as if it is my last. And if it is not, I shall fall to my knees and give thanks. Chapter 13. The Scroll Marked 6. Today I will be master of my emotions. The tides advance, the tides recede. Winter goes and summer comes. Summer wanes and the cold increases. The sun rises, the sun sets. The moon is full, the moon is black. The birds arrive, the birds depart. Flowers bloom, flowers fade. Seeds are sown, harvests are reaped. All nature is a circle of moods, and I am a part of nature, and so, like the tides, my moods will rise, my moods will fall. Today, I will be master of my emotions. It is one of nature's tricks, little understood, that each day I awaken with moods that have changed from yesterday. Yesterday's joy will become today's sadness, yet today's sadness will grow into tomorrow's joy. Inside me is a wheel, constantly turning from sadness to joy, from exaltation to depression, from happiness to melancholy. Like the flowers, today's full bloom of joy will fade and wither into despondency. Yet I will remember that as today's dead flower carries the seed of tomorrow's bloom, so too does today's sadness carry the seed of tomorrow's joy. Today I will be master of my emotions. And how will I master these emotions so that each day will be productive? For unless my mood is right, the day will be a failure. Trees and plants depend on the weather to flourish, but I make my own weather. Yea, I transport it with me. If I bring rain and gloom and darkness and pessimism to my customers, then they will react with rain and gloom and darkness and pessimism, and they will purchase naught. If I bring joy and enthusiasm and brightness and laughter to my customers, they will react with joy and enthusiasm and brightness and laughter, and my weather will produce a harvest of sales and a granary of gold for me. Today I will be master of my emotions. And how will I master my emotions so that every day is a happy day and a productive one? I will learn this secret of the ages. Weak is he who permits his thoughts to control his actions. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. Each day, when I awaken, I will follow this plan of battle before I am captured by the forces of sadness, self-pity, and failure. If I feel depressed, I will sing. If I feel sad, I will laugh. If I feel ill, I will double my labor. If I feel fear, I will plunge ahead. If I feel inferior, I will wear new garments. If I feel uncertain, I will raise my voice. If I feel poverty, I will think of wealth to come. If I feel incompetent, I will remember past success. If I feel insignificant, I will remember my goals. Today, I will be master of my emotions. Henceforth, I will know that only those with inferior ability can always be at their best, and I am not inferior. There will be days when I must constantly struggle against forces which would tear me down. Those such as despair and sadness are simple to recognize, but there are others which approach with a smile and the hand of friendship, and they can also destroy me. Against them, too, I must never relinquish control. If I become overconfident, I will recall my failures. If I overindulge, I will think of past hungers. If I feel complacency, I will remember my competition. If I enjoy moments of greatness, I will remember moments of shame. If I feel all-powerful, I will try to stop the wind. If I attain great wealth, I will remember one unfed mouth. If I become overly proud, I will remember a moment of weakness. If I feel my skill is unmatched, I will look at the stars. Today I will be master of my emotions. And with this new knowledge I will also understand and recognize the moods of him on whom I call. I will make allowances for his anger and irritation of today, for he knows not the secret of controlling his mind. I can withstand his arrows and insults, for now I know that tomorrow he will change and be a joy to approach. No longer will I judge a man on one meeting. No longer will I fail to call again tomorrow on he who meets me with hate today. This day he will not buy gold chariots for a penny, yet tomorrow he would exchange his home for a tree. My knowledge of this secret will be my key to great wealth. Today I will be master of my emotions. Henceforth I will recognize and identify the mystery of moods in all mankind and in me. From this moment, I am prepared to control whatever personality awakes in me each day. I will master my moods through positive action, and when I master my moods, I will control my destiny. Today I control my destiny, and my destiny is to become the greatest salesman in the world. I will become master of myself. I will become great. Chapter 14. The Scroll Marked 7. I will laugh at the world. No living creature can laugh except man. Trees may bleed when they are wounded, and beasts in the field will cry in pain and hunger. Yet only I have the gift of laughter, and it is mine to use whenever I choose. Henceforth I will cultivate the habit of laughter. I will smile, and my digestion will improve. I will chuckle, and my burdens will be lightened. I will laugh, and my life will be lengthened, for this is the great secret of long life. And now it is mine. I will laugh at the world. And most of all, I will laugh at myself, for man is most comical when he takes himself too seriously. Never will I fall into this trap of the mind, for though I be nature's greatest miracle, am I not still a mere grain tossed about by the winds of time? Do I truly know whence I came or whither I am bound? Will my concern for this day not seem foolish 10 years hence? Why should I permit the petty happenings of today to disturb me? What can take place before this sun sets which will not seem insignificant in the river of centuries? I will laugh at the world. And how can I laugh when confronted with man or deed which offends me so as to bring forth my tears or my curses? 4 words I will train myself to say, until they become a habit so strong that immediately they will appear in my mind whenever good humor threatens to depart from me. These words, passed down from the ancients, will carry me through every adversity and maintain my life in balance. These 4 words are, "This too shall pass." I will laugh at the world. For all worldly things shall indeed pass. When I am heavy with heartache, I shall console myself that this too shall pass. When I am puffed with success, I shall warn myself that this too shall pass. When I am strangled in poverty, I shall tell myself that this too shall pass. When I am burdened with wealth, I shall tell myself that this too shall pass. Yea, verily, where is he who built the pyramid? Is he not buried within its stone? And will the pyramid one day not also be buried under sand? If all things shall pass, why should I be of concern for today? I will laugh at the world. I will paint this day with laughter. I will frame this night in song. Never will I labor to be happy. Rather will I remain too busy to be sad. I will enjoy today's happiness today. It is not grain to be stored in a box. It is not wine to be saved in a jar. It cannot be saved for the morrow. It must be sown and reaped on the same day. And this I will do henceforth. I will laugh at the world. And with my laughter all things will be reduced to their proper size. I will laugh at my failures, and they will vanish in clouds of new dreams. I will laugh at my successes, and they will shrink to their true value. I will laugh at evil, and it will die untasted. I will laugh at goodness, and it will thrive and abound. Each day will be triumphant only when my smiles bring forth smiles from others. And this I do in selfishness, for those on whom I frown are those who purchase not my goods. I will laugh at the world. Henceforth will I shed only tears of sweat, for those of sadness or remorse or frustration are of no value in the marketplace, whilst each smile can be exchanged for gold, and each kind word spoken from my heart can build a castle. Never will I allow myself to become so important, so wise, so dignified, so powerful, that I forget how to laugh at myself and my world. In this matter I will always remain as a child, for only as a child am I given the ability to look up to others. And so long as I look up to another, I will never grow too long for my cot. I will laugh at the world. And so long as I can laugh, never will I be poor. This, then, is one of nature's greatest gifts, and I will waste it no more. Only with laughter and happiness can I truly become a success. Only with laughter and happiness can I enjoy the fruits of my labor. Were it not so, far better would it be to fail, for happiness is the wine that sharpens the taste of the meal. To enjoy success, I must have happiness, and laughter will be the maiden who serves me. I will be happy. I will be successful. I will be the greatest salesman the world has ever known. Chapter 15. The Scroll Marked 8. Today I will multiply my value 100-fold. A mulberry leaf touched with the genius of man becomes silk. A field of clay touched with the genius of man becomes a castle. A cypress tree touched with the genius of man becomes a shrine. A cut of sheep's hair touched with the genius of man becomes raiment for a king. If it is possible for leaves and clay and wood and hair to have their value multiplied 100, yea, 1,000-fold by man, cannot I do the same with the clay which bears my name? Today I will multiply my value 100-fold. I am likened to a grain of wheat which faces one of three futures. The wheat can be placed in a sack and dumped in a stall until it is fed to swine. Or it can be ground to flour and made into bread. Or it can be placed in the earth and allowed to grow until its golden head divides and produces 1,000 grains from the one. I am likened to a grain of wheat with one difference. The wheat cannot choose whether it be fed to swine, ground for bread, or planted to multiply. I have a choice, and I will not let my life be fed to swine, nor will I let it be ground under the rocks of failure and despair to be broken open and devoured by the will of others. Today, I will multiply my value 100-fold. To grow and multiply, it is necessary to plant the wheat grain in the darkness of the earth, and my failures, my despairs, my ignorance, and my inabilities are the darkness in which I have been planted in order to ripen. Now, like the wheat grain which will sprout and blossom only if it is nurtured with rain and sun and warm winds, I too must nurture my body and mind to fulfill my dreams. But to grow to full stature, the wheat must wait on the whims of nature. I need not wait, for I have the power to choose my own destiny. Today I will multiply my value 100-fold. And how will I accomplish this? First, I will set goals for the day, the week, the month, the year, and my life. Just as the rain must fall before the wheat will crack its shell and sprout, so must I have objectives before my life will crystallize. In setting my goals, I will consider my best performance of the past and multiply it 100-fold. This will be the standard by which I will live in the future. Never will I be of concern that my goals are too high, for is it not better to aim my spear at the moon and strike only an eagle than to aim my spear at the eagle and strike only a rock? Today I will multiply my value 100-fold. The height of my goals will not hold me in awe, though I may stumble often before they are reached. If I stumble, I will rise, and my falls will not concern me, for all men must stumble often to reach the hearth. Only a worm is free from the worry of stumbling. I am not a worm. I am not an onion plant. I am not a sheep. I am a man. Let others build a cave with their clay. I will build a castle with mine. Today I will multiply my value 100-fold. And just as the sun must warm the earth to bring forth the seedling of wheat, so too will the words on these scrolls warm my life and turn my dreams into reality. Today I will surpass every action which I performed yesterday. I will climb today's mountain to the utmost of my ability, yet tomorrow I will climb higher than today, and the next will be higher than tomorrow. To surpass the deeds of others is unimportant. To surpass my own deeds is all. Today I will multiply my value 100-fold. And just as the warm wind guides the wheat to maturity, the same winds will carry my voice to those who will listen, and my words will announce my goals. Once spoken, I dare not recall them lest I lose face. I will be as my own prophet, and though all may laugh at my utterances, they will hear my plans. They will know my dreams. And thus there will be no escape for me until my words become accomplished deeds. Today I will multiply my value 100-fold. I will commit not the terrible crime of aiming too low. I will do the work that a failure will not do. I will always let my reach exceed my grasp. I will never be content with my performance in the market. I will always raise my goals as soon as they are attained. I will always strive to make the next hour better than this one. I will always announce my goals to the world. Yet never will I proclaim my accomplishments. Let the world instead approach me with praise, and may I have the wisdom to receive it in humility. Today I will multiply my value 100-fold. One grain of wheat, when multiplied 100-fold, will produce 100 stalks. Multiply these 100-fold, 10 times, and they will feed all the cities of the earth. Am I not more than a grain of wheat? Today I will multiply my value 100-fold. And when it is done, I will do it again and again, and there will be astonishment and wonder at my greatness as the words of these scrolls are fulfilled in me. Chapter 16. The scroll marked 9. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they are followed by action. I will act now. Never has there been a map, however carefully executed to detail and scale, which carried its owner over even 1 inch of ground. Never has there been a parchment of law, however fair, which prevented one crime. Never has there been a scroll such as the one I hold, which earned so much as a penny, or produced a single word of acclamation. Action alone is the tinder which ignites the map, the parchment, this scroll, my dreams, my plans, my goals, into a living force. Action is the food and drink which will nourish my success. I will act now. My procrastination, which has held me back, was born of fear, and now I recognize this secret, mined from the depths of all courageous hearts. Now I know that to conquer fear I must always act without hesitation, and the flutters in my heart will vanish. Now I know that action reduces the lion of terror to an ant of equanimity. I will act now. Henceforth I will remember the lesson of the firefly who gives of its light only when it is on the wing, only when it is in action. I will become a firefly, and even in the day my glow will be seen in spite of the sun. Let others be as butterflies who preen their wings, yet depend on the charity of a flower for life. I will be as the firefly, and my light will brighten the world. I will act now. I will not avoid the tasks of today and charge them to tomorrow, for I know that tomorrow never comes. Let me act now, even though my actions may not bring happiness or success, for it is better to act and fail than not to act and flounder. Happiness, in truth, may not be the fruit plucked by my action, yet without action, all fruit will die on the vine. I will act now. I will act now. I will act now. I will act now. Henceforth I will repeat these words again and again and again, each hour, each day, every day, until the words become as much a habit as my breathing, and the actions which follow become as instinctive as the blinking of my eyelids. With these words I can condition my mind to perform every act necessary for my success. With these words I can condition my mind to meet every challenge which the failure avoids. I will act now. I will repeat these words again and again and again. When I awake, I will say them and leap from my cot while the failure sleeps yet another hour. I will act now. When I enter the marketplace, I will say them and immediately confront my first prospect while the failure ponders yet his possibility of rebuff. I will act now. When I face a closed door, I will say them and knock while the failure waits outside with fear and trepidation. I will act now. When I face temptation, I will say them and immediately act to remove myself from evil. I will act now. When I am tempted to quit and begin again tomorrow, I will say them and immediately act to consummate another sale. I will act now. Only action determines my value in the marketplace, and to multiply my value, I will multiply my actions. I will walk where the failure fears to walk. I will work when the failure seeks rest. I will talk when the failure remains silent. I will call on 10 who can buy my goods while the failure makes grand plans to call on 1. I will say it is done before the failure says it is too late. I will act now, for now is all I have. Tomorrow is the day reserved for the labor of the lazy. I am not lazy. Tomorrow is the day when the evil become good. I am not evil. Tomorrow is the day when the weak become strong. I am not weak. Tomorrow is the day when the failure will succeed. I am not a failure. I will act now. When the lion is hungry, he eats. When the eagle has thirst, he drinks. Lest they act, both will perish. I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. I will command, and I will obey mine own command. I will act now. Success will not wait. If I delay, she will become betrothed to another and lost to me forever. This is the time. This is the place. I am the man. I will act now. Chapter 17. The Scroll Marked 10. Who is of so little faith that in a moment of great disaster or heartbreak has not called to his God? Who has not cried out when confronted with danger, death, or mystery beyond his normal experience or comprehension? From where has this deep instinct come which escapes from the mouth of all living creatures in moments of peril? Move your hand in haste before another's eyes, and his eyelids will blink. Tap another on his knee, and his leg will jump. Confront another with dark horror, and his mouth will say, "My God," from the same deep impulse. My life need not be filled with religion in order for me to recognize this greatest mystery of nature. All creatures that walk the earth, including man, possess the instinct to cry for help. Why do we possess this instinct, this gift? Are not our cries a form of prayer? Is it not incomprehensible in a world governed by nature's laws to give a lamb or a mule or a bird or man the instinct to cry out for help, lest some great mind has also provided that the cry should be heard by some superior power having the ability to hear and to answer our cry? Henceforth, I will pray, but my cries for help will only be cries for guidance. Never will I pray for the material things of the world. I am not calling to a servant to bring me food. I am not ordering an innkeeper to provide me with room. Never will I seek delivery of gold, love, good health, petty victories, fame, success, or happiness. Only for guidance will I pray, that I may be shown the way to acquire these things, and my prayer will always be answered. The guidance I seek may come, or the guidance I seek may not come. But are not both of these an answer? If a child seeks bread from his father, and it is not forthcoming, has not the father answered? I will pray for guidance, and I will pray as a salesman in this manner. O Creator of all things, help me. For this day I go out into the world naked and alone. And without your hand to guide me, I will wander far from the path which leads to success and happiness. I ask not for gold or garments, or even opportunities equal to my ability. Instead, guide me so that I may acquire ability equal to my opportunities. You have taught the lion and the eagle how to hunt and prosper with teeth and claw. Teach me how to hunt with words and prosper with love, so that I may be a lion among men and an eagle in the marketplace. Help me to remain humble through obstacles and failures, yet hide not from mine eyes the prize that will come with victory. Assign me tasks to which others have failed, yet guide me to pluck the seeds of success from their failures. Confront me with fears that will temper my spirit, yet endow me with courage to laugh at my misgivings. Spare me sufficient days to reach my goals, yet help me to live this day as though it be my last. Guide me in my words that they may bear fruit, yet silence me from gossip that none be maligned. Discipline me in the habit of trying and trying again, yet show me the way to make use of the law of averages. Favor me with alertness to recognize opportunity, yet endow me with patience, which will concentrate my strength. Bathe me in good habits, that the bad ones may drown. Yet grant me compassion for weaknesses in others. Suffer me to know that all things shall pass. Yet help me to count my blessings of today. Expose me to hate, so it not be a stranger. Yet fill my cup with love, to turn strangers into friends. But all these things be only if thy will. I am a small and lonely grape, clutching the vine, yet thou hast made me different from all others. Verily there must be a special place for me. Guide me. Help me. Show me the way. Let me become all you planned for me when my seed was planted and selected by you to sprout in the vineyard of the world. Help this humble salesman. Guide me, God. Chapter 18. And so it came to pass that Hafid waited in his lonely palace for he who was to receive the scrolls. The old man, with only his trusted bookkeeper for a companion, watched the seasons come and go, and the infirmities of old age soon prevented him from doing little except sit quietly in his covered garden. He waited. He waited nearly 3 full years after the disposal of his worldly wealth and the disbanding of his trade empire. And then, from out of the desert to the east, there appeared a slight, limping figure of a stranger who entered Damascus and made straightway through the streets until he stood before the palace of Hafid. Erasmus, usually a model of courtesy and propriety, remained resolutely in the doorway as the caller repeated his request. "I wouldst speak with thy master." The stranger's appearance was not one to inspire confidence. His sandals were ripped and mended with rope, his brown legs were cut and scratched and had sores in many places, and above them hung a loose and tattered camel's hair loincloth. The man's hair was snarled and long, and his eyes, red from the sun, seemed to burn from within. Erasmus held tightly to the door handle. "What is it thou seekest of my sire?" The stranger allowed his sack to fall from his shoulders, and clenched both hands in prayer toward Erasmus. "Please, kind man, grant me an audience with thy master. I mean him no harm, nor seek I alms. Let him hear my words, and then I will go in haste if I offend him." Erasmus, still unsure, slowly opened the door and nodded toward the interior. Then he turned without looking back and walked swiftly toward the garden with his visitor limping behind. In the garden, Hafid dozed, and Erasmus hesitated before his master. He coughed, and Hafid stirred. He coughed again, and the old man opened his eyes. "Forgive this disturbance, master, but there is a caller." Hafid, now awake, sat up and shifted his gaze to the stranger, who bowed and spoke. "Art thou he who has been called the greatest salesman in the world?" Hafid frowned, but nodded. "I have been called that in years now gone. No longer is that crown on my old head. What seeketh thee of me?" The small visitor stood self-consciously before Hafid and rubbed his hands over his matted chest. He blinked his eyes in the soft light and replied, "I am called Saul, and I return now from Jerusalem to my birthplace in Tarsus. However, I beg you, let not my appearance deceive you. I am not a bandit from the wilderness, nor am I a beggar of the streets. I am a citizen of Tarsus, and also a citizen of Rome. My people are Pharisees of the Jewish tribe of Benjamin, and although I am a tent maker by trade, I have studied under the great Gamaliel. Some call me Paul. He swayed as he spoke, and Hafid, not fully awake until this moment, apologetically motioned for his visitor to sit. Paul nodded but remained standing. I come to thee for guidance and help, which only you can give. Will you permit me, sire, to tell my story? Erasmus, standing behind the stranger, shook his head violently, but Hafid pretended not to notice. He studied the intruder of his sleep carefully, and then nodded.
I am too old to continue to look up at thee. Sit at my feet, and I will hear you through.
Paul pushed his sack aside and knelt near the old man who waited in silence.
4 years ago, because the accumulated knowledge of too many years of study had blinded my heart to truth, I was the official witness to the stoning in Jerusalem of a holy man called Stephen. He had been condemned to death by the Jewish Sanhedrin for blasphemy against our God.
Hafid interrupted with puzzlement in his voice.
I do not understand how I am connected with this activity.
Paul raised his hand as if to calm the old man.
I will explain quickly. Stephen was a follower of a man called Jesus, who less than a year before the stoning of Stephen was crucified by the Romans for sedition against the state. Stephen's guilt was his insistence that Jesus was the Messiah whose coming had been foretold by the Jewish prophets, and that the temple had conspired with Rome to murder this Son of God. This rebuke to those in authority could only be punishable with death, and as I have already told thee, I participated. Furthermore, with my fanaticism and youthful zeal, I was supplied with letters from the high priest of the temple and entrusted with the mission of journeying here to Damascus to search out every follower of Jesus and return them in chains to Jerusalem for punishment. This was, as I have said, 4 years ago. Erasmus glanced at Hafid and was startled, for there was a look in the old man's eyes which had not been seen by the faithful bookkeeper in many years. Only the splash of fountain water could be heard in the garden until Paul spoke once more. Now, as I approached Damascus with murder in my heart, there was a sudden flash of light from the heavens. I remember not having been struck, but I found myself on the ground, and although I could not see, I could hear, and I heard a voice in my ear say, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I answered, Who are you? And the voice replied, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what to do. I arose, and was led by the hands of my companions into Damascus, and there I was not able to eat or drink for 3 days, while I remained in the house of a follower of the Crucified One. Then I was visited by another called Ananias, who said he had been visited in a vision and told to come to me. Then he laid his hands upon my eyes, and I could see again. Then I ate, and I drank, and my strength returned.
Hafid now leaned forward from his bench and inquired,
What then took place?
I was brought to the synagogue, and my presence as a persecutor of the followers of Jesus struck fear into the hearts of all his followers, but I preached nevertheless, and my words confounded them. For now I spoke that he who had been crucified was indeed the Son of God. And all who listened suspected a trick of deceit on my part, for had I not caused havoc in Jerusalem? I could not convince them of my change of heart, and many plotted my death,
so I escaped over the walls and returned to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem the happenings of Damascus repeated themselves. None of the followers of Jesus would come near me, although word had been received of my preaching in Damascus. Nevertheless, I continued to preach in the name of Jesus, but it was of no avail. Everywhere I spoke, I antagonized those who listened until one day I went to the temple, and in the courtyard, as I watched the sale of doves and lambs for sacrifice, the voice came to me again.
This time, what did it say?
Erasmus spoke before he could stop himself. Hafid smiled at his old friend and nodded for Paul to continue. The voice said, Thou hast had the word for nearly 4 years, but thou hast shown few the light. Even the word of God must be sold to the people, or they will hear it not. Did not I speak in parables so that all might understand? Thou wilt catch few flies with vinegar. Return to Damascus and seek out him who is acclaimed as the greatest salesman in the world. If thou wouldst spread my word to the world, let him show you the way. Hafid glanced quickly at Erasmus, and the old bookkeeper sensed the unspoken question. Was this the one for whom he had waited so long? The great salesman leaned forward and placed his hand on Paul's shoulder.
Tell me about this Jesus.
Paul, his voice now alive with new strength and volume, told of Jesus and his life. While the two listened, he spoke of the long Jewish wait for a Messiah who would come and unite them within a new and independent kingdom of happiness and peace. He told of John the Baptist and the arrival on the stage of history of one called Jesus. He told of the miracles performed by this man, his lectures to the crowds, his raising of the dead, his treatment of the money changers, and he told of the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. Finally, as if to give further impact to his story, Paul reached into the sack at his side and removed a red garment, which he placed in the lap of Hafid. Sire, you hold in your arms all the worldly goods left behind by this Jesus. All that he possessed he shared with the world, even unto his life. And at the foot of his cross, Roman soldiers cast lots for this robe. It has come into my possession through much diligence and searching when I was last in Jerusalem. Hafid's face paled, and his hands shook as he turned the robe stained with blood. Erasmus, alarmed at his master's appearance, moved closer to the old man. Hafid continued to turn the garment until he found the small star sewn into the cloth. The mark of Tola, whose guild made the robes sold by Patros. Next to the star was a circle sewn within a square, the mark of Patros. As Paul and Erasmus watched, the old man raised the robe and rubbed it gently against his cheek. Hafid shook his head. Impossible! Thousands of other robes were made by Tola and sold by Patros in the years of his great trade route. Still clutching the robe and speaking in a hoarse whisper, Hafid said,
Tell me what is known of the birth of this Jesus.
Paul said, He left our world with little. He had entered it with less. He was born in a cave in Bethlehem, during the time of the census of Augustus. Hafid's smile seemed almost childish to the two men, and they looked on with puzzlement, for tears also flowed down his wrinkled cheeks. He brushed them away with his hand and asked,
And was there not the brightest star that man has ever seen, which shone above the birthplace of this baby?
Paul's mouth opened,
yet he could not speak. Nor was it necessary. Hafid raised his arms and embraced Paul, and this time the tears of both were mingled. Finally the old man arose and beckoned toward Erasmus.
"Faithful friend, go to the tower and return with the chest. We have found our salesman at last."
This is Mark Bramhall. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Greatest Salesman in the World. You can change your life with the priceless wisdom of 10 ancient scrolls handed down for thousands of years, by Og Mandino. This program was directed by Tony Huds. Executive producer, Aaron Blank. Text, copyright 1968 by Og Mandino. Production, copyright 2016, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.